But the father's contribution, he bonds to his children by an act of the will. I will be a good father. I will take care of my children. I will make the time to play with them.
This is Family Policy Matters, a weekly radio show and podcast from NC Family, designed to better inform listeners about the critical issues of the day and encourage you to be voices of persuasion for family values in your communities. And now your host, NC Family President John Rustin.
Thank you for joining us for Family Policy Matters. This is the time of year that we give special recognition to mothers and fathers. In May, we celebrate Mother's Day, and in June, we celebrate Father's Day. More than just an opportunity to give cards and gifts, these days really commemorate the love and appreciation we have for our parents and the tremendous impact they have on our lives. More than that, however, mothers and fathers play a critical role in the stability and overall structure of our families and society. While this may seem quite obvious, the importance of mothers and fathers cannot be overstated. During this edition of Family Policy Matters, we're going to explore the important role that fathers play in the lives of their children. Today, I'm joined by Dr. Pat Fagan, Director of the Marriage and Religion Research Initiative, or MARRI, which is dedicated to delivering robust social science data on the impact of marriage and religious practice on the lives of adults and children, and on the future of the nation. Among his volumes of work in the areas of marriage, family, child development, and religion, Dr. Fagan has published a series on the phases of the father-son relationships, which we'll be talking about today. Dr. Fagan, welcome back to Family Policy Matters. It's great to have you with us on the show again.
It's very good to be with you. Thank you.
Well, Dr. Fagan, I know you have spent decades studying, researching, writing, and speaking about marriage, parenting, and family, but this is not just a vocation for you. I know it's a real passion. And as the father of 8 children, you bring a wealth of personal insights and experience to the table. If I may, I'd love to ask you to give just a brief introduction into your own story to our listening audience. What was your family life like growing up, and then as a husband, a father, and now a grandfather?
Well, I grew up with 2 great parents, working class in Dublin. My father was a truck driver, and the neighborhood was filled with similar families. Everybody went to church every Sunday, and everybody was married. So compared to today, it was absolutely idyllic. The friends I made, I still visit when I go back, that I grew up with. Went to Catholic schools all the way through. So I had pretty, we regarded ourselves not as poor, but, you know, poor enough. Mom and dad had 7 children, so raising 7 children on a truck driver's income was, you know, a stretch. But we did it, and it was great. I was blessed with them. I remember when my father died, I remember talking to others. I had never myself, my sister said she had seen it, but I had never seen my parents argue.
Wow.
Which was a tremendous gift. You know, if they did, I'm sure they did, but they did it behind closed doors. We never saw disunity between them. We prayed as a family. We worshiped as a family. I do remember there was a key incident in 66. Television came into Ireland. On the east coast of Ireland, you could get TV beamed across from the United Kingdom. But we didn't have our own national TV, but it came in 66. Everybody bought a TV. And I remember being on in the living room, and this was this new instrument. And I remember 2-3 days into it, my mother saying, "I don't like this. I'm losing my family." Wow. What an insight.
Wow. Well, I think that probably shows just the closeness of your family and the interruption that device brought into the home. And, of course, we see that in so many ways these days with technology just incredible. Obviously, you have had what many would consider to be relatively large families, both growing up and also of your own. And I know you've had a lot of experiences in the context of those families. Summarize for us, if you would, what the research shows about the just really profound impact that fathers have on their children and the lives of their families.
It is the profoundest. Here's the way I come. Of course, the mother is biologically tied to the baby intimately. for at least a year and a quarter, up to 2 years, between the pregnancy, then the whole catharsis of the birth canal and giving birth, you know, that awful pain immediately followed by that magnificent joy of holding her new child, and then the breastfeeding, which has got lays all sorts of bases. So nothing can trump the relationship of a mother to a child. A father could never attain that. He has a very different role and has a very important role. Mother provides the family. Father builds the family, the two together. Of course, it's a great marriage is needed for a great family. But the father's contribution, he bonds to his children by an act of the will. I will be a good father. I will take care of my children. I will make the time to play with them. And the most important phase, of course, in everything in life is the earliest phase. The most important phase of the father with the child is that those first years, because that's when the deep friendship and the deep attachment can be formed. What does he do? He plays and he reads to them. What way does he play? Whatever way comes naturally to the kid and to him. The mother lays the basis. The mother makes reality and the world comfortable for the child. Then the father brings the child gradually out into the world. But you have to trust him. And the deeper the trust, the more the child will follow and take the father's direction and trust him to lead in a right direction, son or daughter.
You're listening to Family Policy Matters, a radio show and podcast from NC Family. You can sign up to receive an updated podcast each week on iTunes or any podcast app. To listen to the show online and for more resources that will help you be a voice of persuasion in your community, go to our website at ncfamily.org.
Now, Dr. Fagan, from your research and experience, talk a little bit about the unique role that fathers play in the lives of their daughters and also in the lives of their sons. Now, as the father of a daughter and a son myself, I've certainly experienced the different ways that I interact and relate to each of my children, and it is different. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Well, because the daughter is female, that dictates a huge different relationship. And then the son is male, and he can learn to be male from his father. The daughter later learns to be female from her mother, but what she gets, particularly from the father, is the affirmation that his rejoicing in seeing her grow into a wonderful and maturing female. She's the apple of his eye. So she draws immensely on his regard for her. That's the big gift he gives her. That's the father with the daughter. With the son, it's very different. And the way I would sum it up and where my work is bringing me, the huge task the father has, and modern and future fathers, their task is getting bigger because cultures are being evaporated. And the flattening of cultures, the eradication of cultures between the pill and the digital and industrial and movement and everything. Cultures are just being wiped out across the world, particularly in their capacity to transmit the sexual mores from one generation to the next. And as a result, it's going to fall heavier than ever before in all of human history on fathers and mothers, the fathers to transmit to their sons, the mothers to their daughters, how to be a great husband and a great father. It is up to future fathers to take the sexual education of their sons into the home, because what's been transmitted outside is toxic and poisonous. So there are different phases. The earliest phases, he binds himself with hoops of steel in affection to his son when it's easiest, the first 4 years. How does he do it? Through play and rejoicing in his son. And he keeps it up, 5, 6, 7, 8. By the time he's getting around 8, 9, and this is a judgment call, he'll have his first talk with his son about the sexual. He may have answered other questions, but he deliberately gets him ready for adolescence in a light way, and that's again a judgment call. He'll also have to very early protect him, because now, by 8 years of age, most boys have been exposed to pornography. The environment is saturated with it, and the father has to have inoculated a bit, gotten him prepared. And then, of course, as he's moving into puberty, he's got to get him ready for the all the changes that will take place. And if the son really trusts his father, he will listen to him. If the father isn't close to his son, long before he comes to adolescence, when it gets time to talk to him, the son won't listen. And he will listen to someone else. So that's why, on so many levels, the father has to be attached to his son. And then he'll teach him what's going to happen to him, and then he'll teach him how to overcome the temptations, or if he slips or falls, and it's a very easy area for people to slip and fall, how you get back up. And then he teaches his son how he, the father, deals with these temptations.
Do you see that that father-son, or the character of that father-son relationship, is passed down from generation to generation? In other words, is one father's approach to marriage and parenting often handed down to the next generation? Because we as sons certainly learn from our fathers. And do the positive characteristics that are instilled often get handed down from generation to generation? And likewise, do the negative characteristics of those relationships or that training or fatherhood potentially get passed down to the next generation?
Oh, without a doubt. Look, the marriage between mother and father is the big sexual educator, period. A great marriage educates so much. The kids just absorb it subconsciously, unconsciously, like sponges. It just seeps in. And so many messages are given and delivered. That is by far the strongest sexual education anybody gets, be it for good or ill. So, yes. But the good news is, if something bad happens, all people have a sense of where true happiness lies and what's good. And so many men and women have come out of broken families where things went wrong between the parents, but they've been able to, through all sorts of good things happening, the grace of God, good friends, good relatives, reading good books, get on the right path and say, I'm determined, I am going to have a good marriage, and gradually figure out how to do it. That happens generation after. So yes, to your question, the good is transmitted, so too is the bad, but the bad can be overcome. And of course, the good can be neglected and cast aside.
Sure, so sure.
Each generation builds on the one before, but each generation takes its own responsibility and has to begin doing its own heavy lifting.
Oh, Dr. Fagan, in your opinion, what is the most important thing a father can teach or seek to instill in his son?
The love of his wife, without a doubt.
Yeah.
And that's what the whole point of it all is, that his son is going to become a great husband. Bottom line.
We could go on, and I'd love to do that, but unfortunately, we're just about out of time. But before we go, I do want to give you an opportunity to let our listeners know where they can go to learn more about the topics that we've been discussing today and about your great research and work at Mary.
That's right. The place to go is Mary, M-A-R-R-I, Mary, Marriage and Religion Research Institute, .us. And then if you go to the blogs, you'll see a lot, but then that'll lead you into all sorts of data. I think it's true to say it's a treasure trove of the social sciences on the issues of marriage, family, and religion.
Excellent. Well, I would encourage our listeners to visit that website. Again, that's M-A-R-R-I, Mary.us. And Dr. Pat Fagan, with that, I want to thank you so much for being with us again on Family Policy Matters and for sharing your great insights, both personal and professional, on the topics of marriage and parenting. We're so grateful for the work that you do, and just pray God's blessings on you and on Mary into the future.
Thank you very much. It's been a real pleasure being with you again.
You have been listening to Family Policy Matters, a weekly radio show and podcast from NC Family. To listen to the show online and for more resources that will help you be a voice of persuasion in your community, go to our website at ncfamily.org and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.